Good morning. This is Jerry Erschbeck and Tom McCurry for the winter edition of the Lawn and Garden Show. And with us today is Tom Johnson. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
How you doing today?
We're doing great. We're glad to be here.
Good. So you are pretty much the head honcho of the community garden, correct?
Yes, if you want to put it that way.
Sure. We can put it that way.
Need some help mowing your lawn? Then let Levi's Lawn Care help you out this summer. Levi can mow your yard at very affordable prices. He starts at around $20 per week, and that includes mowing and trimming. Levi can also aerate your lawn and offers tree trimming and stump grinding. Let Levi take care of the mowing duties of your lawn this summer. Give him a call at 575-1626. That's 575-1626.
Not sure if you're on the right track? Platte Valley Bank can help keep your finances moving forward. Having a plan to save and spend can help build your financial confidence. Knowing you have the right savings plan can help build your financial success. With free tools like online banking and helpful products like automatic savings plans and budgeting tools, you are in control of your financial future. Start saving today at www.pvbank.com. You belong here.
Platte Valley Bank, member FDIC.
Does it seem like the grass is always greener in your neighbor's yard? Well, that's because your neighbor had Sunrise Sprinkler install an underground sprinkler system. Sunrise Sprinkler in Torrington is the top choice for underground sprinkler systems. Give Chris Miller a call at 575-4300. Sunrise Sprinkler can give you a free estimate on a sprinkler system, and you can find out about the many other services that they offer. Give them a call today at 575-4300. Sunrise Sprinkler in Torrington.
Our producers know that running a successful operation these days requires having reliable service and quality products. That's why you know you can trust the knowledgeable people at Westco to provide you sound agronomic advice, aerial application, bulk fuel, lubricants, propane, tires, and other essentials to keep your operation running smoothly. Our priority is helping you succeed. Call or visit your nearest Westco location today. Westco. Service. Solutions. Success.
Westco's your best value through and through.
Lawn getting that old worn-out look, having to water and mow too often? Then it's time to call Torrington Sod Farm. They'll be happy to visit with you and show you why sod is the right answer. Call 532-2777. Torrington Sod Farm has been serving the area since 1999 and pride themselves on their service, quality sod, and exceeding customer expectations. They look forward to serving you, so give them a call for a free quote at 532-2777. Torrington Sod Farm. They make it easy. Easy being green.
Do you have a garden pot or a flower pot that's just sitting around your home or business? Let Peaceful Prairie Nursery in Mitchell, Nebraska fill it with a beautiful winter arrangement. Spruce up your empty flower pots for the holiday season. Check them out on Facebook. See these beautiful arrangements at Peaceful Prairie Nursery in Mitchell, Nebraska.
So part of the community garden is community gardening. So what kind of spaces do you have, and what's available for our community to garden at?
We have plots that are 30 by 30, and there's 8 of them in the garden. There's about 4 plots still left that are up for grabs if anybody's interested. We're going to put in another 9 raised beds, and they're 4 by 8 redwoods. They're all drip systems included, so you can farm on a raised bed, and you don't have to bend over and fight the weeds. And if you really do the raised beds in a square foot gardening, you can produce a lot in a raised bed for the summer.
I agree. My daughter-in-law does a raised bed, but she does it in a horse trough, a water trough. And gosh, she produces a lot of stuff in there. I'm surprised how much produce she brings out.
I have 3 of them, 2 8x4s and 1 10x4. And I love them. You're right. You don't have to get down and dig around in the... And be sure and fill them with pretty good soil, because if you use cheap soil, it's a really bad deal.
Now, and we also have a couple of raised beds. They're 8x4, and I think they're like 3 feet tall. Uh-huh. And so that's quite a bit of soil to put in. So we put in newspaper on the bottom to fill it up. What are you guys doing? Are you doing anything?
We had a gardener that had a lawn he wanted to take out. So we took the sod off about 3 or 4 inches, turned that over, put it in the raised beds, and then we use the rest of his dirt to fill the raised beds.
Sure.
We've had great luck with it, so yeah. That helped. We did a lot of cardboard in the raised beds inside the geodome and some shredded paper, and then filled those 15-inch raised beds in the geodome with dirt.
Yeah, that geodome, that's a pretty interesting piece of furniture you have there.
Furniture, yes. It is well worth the effort that it put to put it there. Between the tomato seeds and the pepper seeds that we started last spring and to move outside. So we got a month ahead of schedule to do that.
And then a month after schedule?
I picked my last cucumber and tomato in the geodome like the 18th of October.
Wow. Well, because it had some pretty cold days since the 18th of October. But as we see it now, it's fluctuating and we're having some pretty nice temperatures again.
Yes. And we didn't really, I still have some parsnips in the geodome that we can pick throughout the next couple of months.
So. Yummy. I like parsnips.
Tom, have you ever tried? I tried this year. I had trouble storing my carrots. So I got a flat tray and I put silicon sand in with my carrots. And Jerry says that won't work, but it's sure the heck working for me, Jerry.
Well, I don't know if I said that. I may have said that. Don't quote me on that. But it seems to think that it would work. I don't know. And I'm glad it's working for you.
Yes. It's very good.
I'd hate to have to tell you I told you so.
Well, it's only been 3 weeks? And they're looking great. And they're not getting soft.
But if you can find a way to keep and hold your produce a little longer,
yeah,
that's a godsend.
Make sure the silicon sand is dry.
Oh, yeah, dry, dry, dry.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the carrot to start sprouting some more.
Right, exactly.
We've left stuff still in the ground in the raised bed. So yeah. We're not worrying about them right now. They'll last for another couple of months until it gets...
Do you put any kind of a straw or any kind of a compost over the top of those?
To
winterize?
No, we didn't worry about that. The raised beds that we got through farming, we went through and added manure an inch and then filled the raised beds back up with dirt so that they're ready for spring. But the straw we put on in the raised beds that are there now, we got garlic planted in those. We tried that this year to plant garlic in the raised beds and see what kind of production we can get without having to bend over and fight the weeds.
Yeah. We planted garlic just about a month ago now, and it's been cold enough. They have not sprouted. I've been told by some it's okay if they sprout. I've been told by others you don't want them to sprout. But, you know, it is what it is. When you plant them, you're putting them in for a winter's nap. They'll come up in the spring, and isn't that great, though?
They are. They're ready. It's fun to see how much production you can get out of the garlic beds and how eager people are for us to share the fresh garlic.
Oh, yeah. So how many garlics did you harvest, do you suppose?
The plot that I harvested had 110 plants, and then the other plot was like 250.
Yeah, so you have quite a nice array. But, you know, what do you suppose, half of that goes back into planting?
A third of it goes back to planting. Uh-huh. So, and then we shared quite a bunch everywhere else through the gardeners. And
you bet. Did you have some nice sized cloves?
Oh yeah, we've got some big cloves that are really, it's amazing how big those things will get and how much garlic you get, you know.
Yeah, and there's nothing like fresh garlic. My wife always says, you know, here's how you start a food preparation. You chop up some onions, you chop up some garlic, put a little olive oil in it and start simmering, and then whatever goes from there, you add it in.
Doesn't hurt anything.
Well, how did you make this? Well, you get some onions. And you get yourself some garlic. A little olive oil and brown it, and then put whatever you're going to put into it and cook it up.
We made a lot of hot sauce and with adding the garlic and our fresh tomatoes and our peppers out of the garden and canned a bunch of hot sauce. And we'll start using it this winter because we're doing the... Well, when we gather once a month, we'll do a carry-in for the garden club
and
eat some of our produce. So.
Do you have any tomatoes left?
Not right now, no. Okay. Everything I had left, I went ahead and froze.
Oh, very good.
So we can make stuff with them, stews or whatever, later in the winter.
Very good. See, and I've still got those Sweet 100s left.
Are they? Did you turn them upside down in your garage?
Or? No. I took it, picked them off the vine and put them in flats so they're not on top of each other.
Sure.
And we're still eating them. Yeah. Not very many. I think I've got a half a tray left or something.
Yeah.
But I really like fresh tomatoes. It's not a money-making proposition, but I don't care. The produce is so much better. Carrots, I don't care what you plant.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sweet, the carrots are, and the tomatoes are just outstanding. Even this time of year, they wilt a little bit, but you can get through that.
Yeah.
We had all the fresh green tomatoes we picked, in October, Alice Jolovich took them home, and she laid them out on flats. And as they turned ripe, she would take some to the senior center, and she's been sharing them that way. So I let her do that. She volunteered to turn the green ones back to red ones, so we let her do it.
Yeah, there was one point in time I cut the plant off at the base and turned it upside down and put it in my garage, and I was so surprised how well they ripened. Had a little mess of leaves on the floor, but that was easy enough to sweep out.
Yeah.
So not only then do you share your fruits and produce of your labors, but you also have some community gathering. I know you all meet up on Friday nights and do a little sing-along. And do you have a carry-in then, too, on Friday nights?
Not every Friday. We try to do it. We've moved to the basement of the church, the Episcopal Church, because of the weather. So we'll do a once a month, we'll do a carry-in and when we gather and sing. But we do gather and sing every Friday night at 6.
Yeah.
And so we do our carry-ins once a month, and we've invited, trying to invite new people to come and join us and go from there.
So a little camaraderie as well.
Yeah, community.
Yeah.
Keep the community going through the winter. Everybody wants to stay in touch and not just be there at the garden. So
during the season when you were growing and you had produce, I understand you'd take it down to the senior center.
Yes, senior center loved the produce, the tomatoes. We started picking fresh tomatoes on the 4th of July, and cucumbers, the zucchini, the squash. I mean, everything we took down there, we would go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And every time I went in there with a fresh basket, the old one was empty. And the seniors got to expecting us, because if I went in there on Friday for coffee, the ladies would come ask me, have you brought any produce in yet? I said, no, because it's only 9 o'clock. So, but they got to expecting the tomatoes and the English cucumbers. Everybody loved those. We grew them in the geodome, and I think that thing had to produce, a couple bushel baskets of cucumbers.
Now, English, is that a burpless?
Yes, the long burpless that you don't have to peel. Everybody enjoyed those.
I like them because they've got seeds in them, but they're really small.
Yeah.
Unlike the straight eights that are just pretty, you want to pick them as early as you can, at least I do. But those English cucumbers are delightful.
Yeah, really good fresh cucumber that everybody loved them, and they were easy to take care of and share. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've never really grown accustomed to cucumbers except on occasion, and I can't remember what the occasion is, but I know that I've eaten some cucumbers and I liked them, but I see people take them just in their hand and just gnaw them off.
Yeah.
And to me they taste like the rind on a watermelon.
The English aren't that strong. You get more of the cucumber out of the fruit itself, and the water content in the cucumber is refreshing.
Now I know that a lot of people like to drink cucumber water. I like an orange slice personally.
Yeah.
But cucumber and or lemon, lime, orange slice, they're all good.
Yeah.
All good. So the water, have you tested the water to see what kind of pH your water is that's being kicked out?
No, we're using city water, tap water, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And no, I haven't tested it. Our soil seems to be holding up. We checked the pH in the soil last month, a couple of the gardeners and myself, and just to see if we needed to add manure or whatever, for the winter. And our pH is staying what everybody says it should be, that 5 to 7 range.
Yeah, good deal.
This is Wade Brew, Market President with Pinnacle Bank. Pinnacle Bank has been serving the lending needs of farmers, ranchers, and commercial business owners in the Wyobraska area, where we've called home for over 100 years. Let us put our resources to work for you with local decision-making from a family-owned bank. Give us a call or visit us at www.wypinnbank.com. Pinnacle Bank, Torrington and Mitchell, the way banking should be. Member FDIC.
Are you planning a kitchen remodel but don't know where to start?
Hi, this is Dan Shields from Century Lumber. Start with semi-custom diamond cabinets and Century Lumber. Diamond cabinets offer the latest door styles and finishes at an affordable price. I can walk you through all the features and benefits and provide a free estimate and expert design. Stop in and turn that vision of your dream kitchen into a reality with the help of Century Lumber Center in Torrington.
Ready to make your house the envy of the neighborhood? Then your first stop should be Great Gardens in Torrington, the region's largest and most gorgeous independent garden center. Stocked full of annuals, hanging baskets, veggies, perennials, trees, and shrubs, they have all of your gardening needs covered. They even have a large selection of decor to bring that wow factor to your yard and garden. Open year-round and ready for you now. Stop into Great Gardens, 1 mile west of Main Street in Torrington.
Concrete is hard. That's why you should hire J-Built Homes for your next concrete project. Jeff and the crew have experience in all different kinds of concrete designs with professional results. Take one look at J-Built Homes' website, jbuiltwyo.com, and the finished jobs speak for themselves. From driveways to patios, homes, or commercial projects, there's not a job too big or too small. Call Jeff today for a free estimate at 307-631-4449.
It's a plus when you know you can count on Landscaping Plus for not only your lawn and garden care around your home or office, but the plus comes in when the snow flies, as they'll take care of all that snow removal from driveways, sidewalks, and parking lots, home or business. Just give Rob a call at 532-6067 and set up all this year's snow removal from now till the last flake flies. That's Landscaping Plus, 532-6067, Torrington.
Tom, I forget who told us this, but you know, it says if you're finding high pH in your soil and you're watering with a high pH, you're not going to change things drastically. You can change stuff a little bit with the addition of sulfur and alfalfa pellets, the ground alfalfa. So I think that, you know, those supplements probably help out quite a bit.
Well, with the sulfur, what it does, the nutrients in the soil, that won't break down because of the high pH. If you add sulfur, it will allow those minerals and iron and stuff to break down, and the plant will take them up. And we had a lady from Casper talk about it.
Yeah, and she said he had to do it every year.
Was it Donna?
I think so.
Yeah, and she,
Donna Hoffman.
I've always used sulfur, but now I'm really using sulfur. And I test my pH, and it stays like, the gardens, is that sandy soil? When I was there, right across the street's alkali.
Yeah.
I lived on Main Street where Randy Adams did.
Yeah.
And boy, but on your side, as I recall.
That block, that quarter of a block is pretty sandy. And
yeah.
And the compost we put back in, the grass clippings, we have a few people that don't fertilize their grass or spray it, so we can use their grass clippings and for mulch, and that seems to help keep the soil working.
Mm-hmm.
The worm content in that soil has been good, so we're keeping the soil working that way, the natural stuff that's going on, and not putting chemicals. We don't use any commercial fertilizer or weed spray, so we're keeping that out of the soil. Helps it stay healthy.
That's a really good idea. There's so many ways that you can enhance your soil profile that using commercial fertilizer isn't necessary.
Yeah.
You know, manure, if you break it down before you put it in the beds or if even on the ground, you know, just compost it or so you get rid of all the weeds or some of them at least.
Yeah, and I think I've possibly, hopefully, discovered another way to take care of my weeds. And I'm trying to design a sweep on the back of my rototiller. You don't have to use the tines, but if there's a V sweep on the back, I can cut those weeds off below the surface. And so that's what I'm really hoping for next year. So do you have a weed day? Or, I mean, do you say, okay, Wednesdays, we're going to get after weeds?
We should. So, and that would be a smart idea to get a weekly weed. I ask everybody to show up on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday so we can pick. But then the weeding is random from there on who wants to do what and
yeah.
where.
Myrna and I started a weed day, and it started off really good. And then we got tired or something else came up. And, you know, then it was 10 days instead of a week. Then it was 2 weeks. And, you know, that just doesn't work. You have to stay really diligent on those weeds. I think most crops, especially garlic, and I know that there's quite a few others, they don't particularly like the competition of weeds while they're growing.
No, the garlic, the potatoes really don't like the weeds. That's one of the main reasons why we're going to more raised beds, so we can get away from having to fight the weeds and let the crop grow.
Yeah, did you say that you put soil in every year?
Yes, we add off to the top the soil off, so it's at the heights of the raised bed for the winter and ready to go for spring.
Now, how do you guys stir your soil up in the raised beds?
I've got a little shovel. And the soil is really supple and really pretty good soil. So I just get in the raised beds. They're 4 feet high, 3 feet maybe. And I just dig them out and roll the soil and then rake them. You know, just use a garden rake, and it works quite well.
What about you, Tom?
We used the wider pitchfork, like a potato fork. Mm-hmm. You just break it up and rake it. And then when we added the manure and the some more topsoil and just rake it in. And we found that the bottom's not that compact. It's everything we dug, and when we pulled the roots out, everything came out nice and easy. And
well, there's no rototiller on it.
Nope.
There's no walking on it.
Nope.
You know, and no pathways that you contend with. So it should be rather loose soil. Should be.
It is. You can. When we pulled the zucchini plants, those things were huge. And when you pull that root out, you could see the whole dirt in the raised bed, you know, loosen up as you're shaking the dirt off the root. And
yeah.
So it stayed loose. And
I think, too, when you have a raised bed, you don't get the boats that you do if you're just growing on the soil, the zucchini boats.
No, Jerry, I hate to tell you, but you've got to watch them really. I planted yellow squash and zucchini, and I only had one gunboat. I'd gone on a trip or something, and when I got back, I mean, they exponentially grow daily. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they can quite grow really fast. One day that they're like this nice, slick little 6 or 8 inch zucchini, and then 2 days later, they're a banana boat.
Tom, did you hear how much rain we got this summer? I could not believe it.
No, I didn't keep track for sure. But
yeah.
It was.
I've got to call Jeff and see if what the deal is on the. We got way more precip than we normally do. 14 inches is the average. And oh my golly, did it rain!
Now, do you agree that our trees did so much better?
Oh yeah, the leaves.
Everything. The trees,
leaves, yeah.
The lawns stayed a lot better shape.
And this fall, I mean, I've got it. When I get out of here today, I'm gonna go home and mow up my leaves. I've already done it once, but it's phenomenal. And Donna from Casper also told us with lawns, cut it short, and I did for the fungus. I've got a brick wall along, and the grass, I was leaving it long for the winter, and she said just to cut it off. And it worked great.
I mean,
I won't know until spring if you get fungus in there, because the snow sits on it, you know, and causes problems.
So if I'm interested in thinking about gardening in a community style, what do I have to do?
Well, right now with the raised beds, we have all the tools in the tool shed at the garden, and we have enough gardeners that are willing to share seeds, because a package of seeds goes a long ways. We will start tomatoes and peppers in the geodome, and we'll share those to go out to the plots.
So what you're saying is just show up.
Show up. Put some labor in and help. Everything is set up on drip systems. So we water Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday on our side of the street. So we turn the drip systems on for an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on what month it is. And and how much they need to soak up. So
now that sounds pretty easy to garden. I mean, you don't rototill.
No, we don't have to rototill.
All the soil is pretty much loose and not compacted.
Ready to go.
Gosh, so pair of gloves, is maybe even not a pair of gloves.
If you want gloves, put on a pair of gloves. There's trowels. There's, like I say, we have, there's enough stuff in the garden for to people a garden. We're encouraging, we invited the 4-H club from town. I don't remember the name of it, but they came and done a few raised beds. So I would like to see the 4-H clubs come back. We also, I'll put a shout out to the Boy Scouts and Girl Scout groups. If they want to come and garden in a raised bed and earn a merit badge or whatever, you know. And
there's a merit badge for gardening?
Sure, I'm sure there's.
Sure. I know that there's merit badges for camping below 32 degrees.
Yeah.
I never thought of that before until I was told. But there's a badge for gardening as well.
I'm assuming they have badges for everything.
For almost everything.
If you wanted to do it.
When we lived in Laramie, we climbed up to Libby Flats above Centennial and decided to do a snow cave. Don't ever do that.
How did that work out for
you? It didn't work. Well, it was just colder than, and we didn't have the right gear like kids do, and it was awful. Don't do it.
A friend and I went up there as well on a moonlit night and did some cross-country skiing.
Uh-huh.
That was phenomenal.
It's fun. But
yeah. But to do that today, nobody would know where you were at.
I know.
You know, I mean, we took some risks. So, but this is a risk that we can all take about community gardening.
Yeah. It's fun. It's easy. I would do one, but a community garden, but I've already got beds.
And got your stuff already, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Tom, the number to call you gave me is 575-3238.
Yes, that's my cell phone.
Your cell phone number. And you just give Tom a call day or night, right?
Day or night. We're around.
You go to bed at what, 8:30?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. We went to bed at 8 o'clock.
8:30.
Yeah. We went to bed at 8 o'clock last night, got up at 12. You go, huh, well, we slept for a little bit. I guess we can stay up now for a little bit. But, you know, when you go to bed way early, you have a tendency to wake up early as well.
Well, the sleep folks say that you need to go to, your bedtime should be the same every night.
Every night.
Don't start switching it up.
Got sleepy, though.
Because then you wake up at 2, you know?
Yeah. Go to bed at 10, wake up at 5, you're just fine.
Do just fine. So not only are we gardening, but we're giving some sleep advice as well.
Yes.
So typically, we start gardening probably April, May, June. Probably get in and start cleaning up in April, May. May 22nd is the last date of frost generally.
Is it the 22nd?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was the 15th, but I was wrong.
Well, between the 15th and the 22nd, we can both be right. But I think we're going to have a longer, colder spring, just like we had last year, just like we had this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we might have to wait until June 1st to get in.
We put tomatoes and peppers out on the 10th of May.
But
and
you
then
have...
we put cucumbers. No, we put them outside.
Outside.
From the geel dome. So, because we didn't freeze after May.
So, do you use, what are they called, sailor caps or?
No, we just stuck them out and put the cages
around. Wow.
I did on some of them put a shingle next to them on the bigger ones where the wind was blowing.
Yeah.
To protect them from the wind. But we didn't have any frost in May, so we got lucky. But it was slow because of the cold and the rain, so nothing really took off as soon as we wanted it to, especially the cucumbers. When we put them out, they didn't want to grow at all. So, yeah, you might have to wait till the 1st of June, and then they'll take off and
take
go.
Take off. But they'll be in the ground.
Yeah.
So, Tom, I moved from Laramie when I came to work for Holly Sugar. And I ran 18 greenhouses. They were research for the professors, and I loved it. And they let me plant tomatoes in the greenhouse. The only problem is white flies and spider mites. And so I came to Torrington, and I thought, I'll just plant April 1st because the weather was beautiful, you know. And the first year, I'll be darned if I didn't get away with it.
Yeah.
And the second year, I put coffee cans or something over the top, plastic jugs, and they froze underneath the caps. I mean, it got cold like it does. Your plan's much better.
Well, my thought was we had already started plants in the geodome, so we moved some out. if we lost those, we still had plants in the geodome. So we were kind of covered to take the chance. So.
Have you ever thought of heating the geodome?
No, it would take too much.
Have you ever thought of putting gallon jugs of water in the geodome?
We did. I've heard of that too.
But to kind of stay, not to produce much in the way of heat, but just to regulate the temperature.
To regulate the temperature, yeah. There's your compost pile, put it in the geodome and let the heat off of it raise the temperature in the geodome. So
there are ways.
This was our first year with the geodome.
Yeah.
So we're still in the learning curve of what we can do and we can't do.
And did you have many white flies and that sort of thing?
No, insects inside the geodome. In fact, you almost have to, if you got tomatoes and peppers and the cucumbers, we didn't have enough pollinators in the geodome. So because you got the door closed to keep the heat up, you know, so you don't get the bugs in and out. So we took a little
cotton
paintbrush and painted the pollen to go through and pollinate stuff by hand.
With a pencil?
A paintbrush.
I used to use a pencil.
No,
I'd go from one flower to the other because the greenhouse is in Laramie.
Yeah, same
deal.
But so we're going to try this year to help us pollinate earlier is to bring and do some of the cutter bees.
There you go.
And let them pollinate in the geodome and then outside, and then they'll reproduce, and they wherever they can find a crack, they'll lay eggs, and then you'll have them for the next year. So.
And maybe some ladybugs?
Well, we do have ladybugs. They come up on their own, but it was cool enough spring that we didn't see them really.
Yeah.
Like you want to see them earlier, but in the cold spring, everything was just slow, so.
Yeah, and you know, this winter is coming upon us rather quickly, and it just is heartening to see a seed catalog come through the mail. It's heartening to see that the first crocus, the first daffodil. We planted a whole bunch of daffodils and tulips, and they're deer resistant, so we hopefully will have a nice little showing. But it's just that hope of spring that makes that gardening just seem like it's coming, it's going to be here, it can't wait till it's here. I'm ready for spring already.
Yes.
I did plant gladiolas in one raised bed in the geodome last spring, so we had flowers. And then I cut them off, but I've left the bulbs in the ground in the raised bed in the geodome, and I put some straw on it. So hopefully they'll just keep reproducing and we don't have to dig them up.
So I have a story about that. My neighbor works at Camp Guernsey, and she planted gladiolas around some of those buildings. And I think the reason her gladiolas kept coming back, and I think why I did, because those buildings are tin and they're warm and on the southern exposure. I did that on the southern exposure of my garage, and they didn't come back up.
No.
So my experiment didn't seem to work very good for me.
On the south side of our house, well, they're all brick.
Right.
That heat from the brick helps to some degree. Same deal. Any time you can get the plants heated up, mostly in the springtime, it's a wonderful thing, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, Johnny Russ, he lived in a brick house, and he had canna lilies, canna bulbs, and he would never dig his. And gosh, they got to be 6 foot tall.
Jerry, I didn't dig mine this year because they're up against a brick. And I'm hoping, you know, the ones you gave me?
Yeah.
This is another scientific experiment to see if it works.
We don't want to call it being lazy. We want to call it a scientific experiment.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we've all, in the garden, we say we're learning how to garden. You know, it's what don't work this year, we can try next year something different.
Absolutely. And that's the joy about community gardening. And if you have somebody in your life that has been gardening, you know, nobody's ever going to tell a novice gardener to go away. I think every gardener who has gardened at least for a couple of years are very willing to share their experiences.
I've never met a gardener that wouldn't tell you it's not like, where's the fishing hole, you know?
Yeah.
People won't talk about
it. What are you fishing with?
And the thing is, it's just wonderful. And the science part of it is, You know, I've had many things happen to me that just trying different things.
Yeah, with Jane Dorn, Alice Jolovich, David Ernst, Garlic Ed, they've all got a lot more years of gardening than I do, but they're always willing to share and their advice and knowledge. And then, like, we just kick things around and what's going to work, what's not going to work, and see what happens. So there, you ask, somebody's out there that's going to help you.
All right. Well, again, that phone number to call Tom Johnson if you're interested in community gardening is 307-575-3238. Bring some determination and a little sweat equity, and before long, you'll be growing your own garden.
Come join us.
Well, hey, thank you guys for being here. Thanks, Tom.
It's always fun, Jerry.
And thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
And I'm Jerry Erschbeck. We'll see you next month.